Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Window Nation is kicking off the new year with their most popular deal. Call today, put no money down, and make no payments and pay no interest for two full years. Plus, get two free windows for every two you buy with no limit. Call 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. I promise you it'll work out. It worked out for me and everybody that I know that has used Window Nation. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. All right, so on the Alex Smith deal, a lot of you tweeted me to tell me that my $8 million in savings was off. And I see where you're getting the higher number from SpotRack. I made a call last night and I said, give me exactly what the savings is. And they told me essentially 10-8 on the dead and 18-8 on the base for next year. I guess what they forgot to share with me was the additional $5.4 million in signing bonus and a $250,000 workout bonus. So the total cap hit next year for him, if he were on the team, would be $24.4 million. And the dead cap money is 10-8. So the difference is 13-6. So that's a bigger savings on Alex Smith not being on the roster. Essentially $13.6 million that you would save. I think the given here, more than any other, is that Kyle Allen is on the roster. I also think a very close to given is that Alex Smith is not. I don't really have any issue with the team releasing him if he doesn't retire. This was an amazing story. He way exceeded anybody's expectations. Ron Rivera had a leader in his locker room, which in part contributed to the season that they had. But you can't keep a guy on the roster next year that's going to have a cap hit of $24.4 million at 37 years old that really has a significant, much less than 50-50 of staying upright for 16 games. You're looking for that. You're looking for a starter for 16 games and beyond to grow with this young team offensively and defensively, of course. And while Alex was really, really impactful on this season, the chances that he has another major impactful season seem less than 50-50 to me. I think it's a lock that Kyle Allen's on the roster for the reasons I suggested before. They don't have to do anything other than commit to him for the veteran minimum, and he has to take it. Okay, which I was told was somewhere in the neighborhood of $800,000. That's a given. I'm telling you right now, unless that injury is much worse than we think, and it was indicated to us earlier in the week that the dislocated ankle is a longer rehab than they thought, but even if they think he's not going to be ready for the beginning of the 2021 season, he's going to be on that team. Look, they traded a fifth rounder for him, and the head coach told you that he thinks the results would have been the same had Kyle Allen stayed healthy. I agree with him on that. Kyle Allen's a lock. I think Alex Smith is a near lock not to be on the roster. Kyle Allen a lock to be on the roster. And then the issue is, what do you do with Taylor Heinicke? A guy who started one game for you and played great. He started a playoff game for you against a really good opponent, and he was the single biggest reason you had a chance to advance in the NFL playoffs. Beyond that, the qualitative of his performance was baller, gamer, creator, extender, smart. It's also very clear that in, you know, the limited numbers of seasons and opportunities he's had, he's been injured multiple times. And at 5 foot 11 or 6 feet or whatever he is, he's not his program height of 6'1". It does look like he's a guy that will get hurt. Kyle Allen got hurt. You know, if you're going to enter next season with Heinicke and Allen battling it out for your starting job on great contracts, again, the Heinicke situation, more likely than not, I would imagine that they would put a second round tender on him, pay him $3.3 million, knowing that more likely than not, teams are not going to give up a second rounder to sign him to a much bigger deal. The first round tender would cost you another $1.5 million somewhere in there. So you'd be paying him $4.5 to $5 million somewhere in that neighborhood for 1 year. That's getting a little bit pricey, but that would ensure that nobody comes after him if you really are worried about that, because you'd have to give up a first rounder if the team didn't match the deal. I can't imagine that Heinicke is going to put you in position to bring back a first-round pick off of a big deal that you decide not to match. Personally, I don't see somebody giving up a second-rounder for Taylor Heinicke off of a second-round tender at $3.3 million, somewhere in that neighborhood, for 1 year. That would be my guess. Heinicke comes back on one of those two tenders, most likely the second-round tender. Allen is immediately signed at the league minimum, which they have control over, and Alex Smith either retires or is released. And then you know, the conversation branches out. Somebody wanted to know the Steven Montez situation. The Montez situation is, I mean, he was signed to the practice squad. I don't know what their, I'll be honest with you, I don't know what their rights are. I'd have to look this up real quickly. And I didn't ask about him because I didn't really consider him to be a legitimate option for being anything other than a training camp quarterback at some sort of minimum deal. He signed a 1 year, $610,000 contract when they signed him this year. So that's it. So you'd have to re-sign him to bring him back. I'm not really considering him to be in the mix of a potential starter or even a potential backup. You know, then we just get into it and we just talk to Mike Jones about it. My preference would be a veteran quarterback that I like, that I believe in, but I do trust in whatever they decide to do. I do think that they prefer a mobile quarterback, and it's one of the reasons I think Kyle Allen's a lock to come back, and that Taylor Heinicke's a possibility of coming back. And Matt Stafford is not immobile by any stretch of the imagination, but I think they really like the idea of a truly mobile quarterback. So, you know, would you go draft in the first round or second round and draft the quarterback of your future? Look, the quarterbacks that are likely there for them at 19 are not the mobile quarterbacks in Mac Jones or Kyle Trask. You know, I don't know if Trey Lance makes it to that level. I don't think Justin Fields drops to that level. I think Fields will be a very interesting one to watch, you know, in the 2021 draft to see, you know, what kind of pro days he has, what kind of combine he has, if he goes to the combine. They're not going to have a chance, obviously, at Lawrence. They're probably not going to have a chance at Zach Wilson. You know, right now, based on all the mocks, it seems unlikely that they'd have a chance at Justin Fields. That seems like a long shot. Trey Lance seems like a long shot. So now you're getting into the next quarterbacks that are projected potential first rounders, the immobile guys. Mac Jones is just big and lumbering and immobile. Kyle Trask is big and strong, but he's not a mobile quarterback. So, I don't know. Doesn't seem to me like you're thinking quarterback at 19, if that's what they prefer, and I think they do. You know, if you're wondering, like, well, what comes after those guys? You know, where, you know, what do they have in the second round? What, you know, where is there a quarterback that's mobile that they might like for later in the draft? You know, there are a couple of guys. The guy that transferred to Georgia and then opted out due to the coronavirus, Jamie Newman, who was at Wake Forest, is a gamer. He's also big, strong, but mobile as well. You know, Newman was thought as a possible first-rounder. The fact that he didn't play probably hurt him, but he's a guy that you could see. We see it with quarterbacks all the time. If he shows well on pro days or, you know, at the combine, a guy like Newman with his size could move up. I am not a Kellen Mond fan, even though he had a very good year at A&M. He did. I do not view Kellen Mond as a guy that I'd want. The guy at Iowa State, Purdy, can run around a little bit. He's on the smaller side, to be honest with you. He sort of looks like a Kyle Allen or Taylor Heineke clone. The guy at Texas, Sam Ehlinger, is a runner, and I'm not a big fan of his pro potential. That's me. Not a big fan at all of Felipe Franks, who transferred to Arkansas. I'll tell you, the kid that has some ability as a dual threat guy is the guy from Northwestern, Peyton Ramsey, who Northwestern had a great year. He had a good year. The guy at Minnesota, Tanner Morgan, is too small for me and too doesn't have the arm strength for me. Just looking down the list of guys that are projected draft choices. Oh, here's one. Ian Book, Notre Dame. I like him. I think he's got a chance to be an NFL quarterback. He's not super accurate. That's always a concern. But he is a playmaker at the position. That would probably be it. I'm looking down to see if I missed anybody that is the guy from the quarterback for Leach this year, the SC transfer, Costello, no. So there you go on the draft. Obviously, we know you take a quarterback and you take a quarterback early. That's a big investment, and you're wrong more than you're right in the drafting of a quarterback. Personally, with this team, I would invest in its defense and a middle linebacker and a corner and a safety. I would also look for more playmakers offensively and potentially even a left tackle, even though I thought Matsko did a phenomenal job with that offensive line. I don't know if they feel like Cornelius Lucas, if they found their answer at left tackle or not. I think they found their answer at guard, at the other guard spot in Schweitzer, and I do think that Sheriff comes back on a long-term deal, especially after he made All-Pro, the first player to make All-Pro since 96. I don't know if he actually had an All-Pro season or not, but he's good, and you are probably going to pay him, I would think. We'll get into more of that as we get closer to that time. And by the way, they can do that prior to the league year, starting with their own players with Sheriff. But you attack some of those other spots where you have needs on defense, trying to make a good defense great, trying to make eventually a great defense elite. You still are 2 to 3 pieces away and a couple of years away in development of your younger players from that. You know, I've seen a lot of people say, and many of you have tweeted me, we should trade John Allen before we have a chance to, before we're forced to pay him. I'm a John Allen fan. I think he's really good. I think he's very underrated in terms of his contribution this year. But if you're telling me that ultimately they're going to have to make a decision between Young, Sweat, and Payne, Allen would be the guy that would go. But just keep this in mind. Your head coach in a coach-centric organization is really looking for culture guys. And John Allen is at the top of the list of first-rate people who are also very good players. So it's not going to surprise me if they end up paying John Allen and keeping him. It's one of those conversations I'm not 100%, you know, sure about. I mean, Matt Stafford to me would be a no-brainer for a second and a third. You know, I was told last night in a conversation I had when I was trying to get the numbers on the quarterbacks that they thought that Matt Stafford would be similar to the Alex Smith, the third, and Kendall Fuller, the third and a player. I don't. I think it's more than that. But I think we're always wrong on these conversations about compensation in trades. It all depends on how big of a market there would be for Matt Stafford. And I think there would be a market for Matt Stafford. I think there would be competition for Matt Stafford. I'll tell you a coach right now, if Matt Stafford is available, that I think would be interested would be Bill Belichick. I could see the Patriots having Matt Stafford as their quarterback next year. That would be my preference. You know, we talked about the injuries to the other guys. Matt Stafford's played hurt a lot of his career. He's 32 going on 33. Still, I like Matt Stafford. I think Matt Stafford can be more of a winner in a very dependent position with a better team and a better staff around him, something he's never had in Detroit. And when they had it a little bit, you know, he did get his team in really good seasons to the playoffs twice, lost a shootout against Drew Brees in the Superdome, and lost a game against the Cowboys at Jerry World that they should have won. There was just a terrible call, terrible officiating cost them that game, in my view, a few years back. All right, Mike Wilbon, next, right after I tell you about Loan Pronto. Right now, hindsight is 2020. I want you to start the new year by lowering your mortgage rate and getting your financial house in order with my good friends at Loan Pronto. Right now, Loan Pronto can lock you into the best mortgage rate of your lifetime, as low as 1.99%, 2.49 APR, with no cash needed at closing on a 30-year fixed. If you've refinanced in the last 60 days, you should look at doing it again. The rates are going to go up. They're better than they were when you even refinanced in the last 60 days. Call Loan Pronto, 571-775-1810, or go to loanpronto.com. Streamlined VA loans are available with no income doc and no appraisal necessary. Ask about cash-out refis. You can refinance and use the equity in your home to get cash-out to pay off those high-interest credit cards. How about being credit card debt-free? Our listeners love Loan Pronto's all-digital, no-hassle, super-fast process. They can get you a new loan in about 21 days with a lower payment. And if you do it now, you can skip your next two house payments entirely. Call now, 571-775-1810, or go to loanpronto.com. If your current rate has a 3 in front of it, if it's 3% or higher, please call now. It'll benefit you significantly. Ask about a new 30-year fixed home loan with a 1.99% rate, 2.49 APR, with zero cash due at closing, and you get to skip your next two house payments altogether. 571-775-1810, loanpronto.com, or 571-775-1810. 1810. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible. MMLSConsumerAccess.org. Mike Wilbon next.
You can listen to the Team 980 on your smart speaker. Just say play the Team 980.
Boy, there was a lot of activity in the world of sports yesterday. A lot of activity in the world. And in this country yesterday, a lot to come as well. Mike Wilbon, you know, when I texted you last night, you could have just said, I'm in Arizona, we got to do it when I get back. But you didn't. You said, absolutely, I'm in Arizona. And I said, wait a minute, you're not getting up at, I thought in the moment, I thought it was 5:30 or 5:25, but it's actually 2 hours behind, right? Is it 6:25 there?
Yeah. Yeah, right now it is, Kevin. I mean, it's 4 months a year, you've got 2 hours, and 8 months, you've got 3 hours. So in March, early March, we'll be back to 3 hours. And look, I'm an old man now. I wake up early, and the difference between me and most old men is I go back to sleep. So I have no problem. I have no problem going back to sleep. And some of the stuff that woke me up is the craziness. Well, the craziness of the world first, but yeah, sports yesterday just went haywire.
It did. We'll get to that in a moment because, you know, you have here, home in Washington, you have a home in Chicago. I would imagine in January over the in recent years, you're pretty much in Arizona exclusively.
No. I got a 12-year-old.
But you're not going to games right now.
I'm not going to games right now, and he's not in class right now. So,
right,
you know, we can play it a little differently. And I don't have to be in the studio as much because, I mean, Tony's still in his attic. He's not in the studio. So that's not even last January.
Right.
That's now. And so you said I could have waited till I come back. I don't know when I'm coming back. Last year I spent 100 days out here. So I don't know what coming back means. I mean, it's still the state of the world that determines that.
We both love him, but he is living in fear, isn't he, in that attic?
Yeah, you know as well as I do. He could live in fear if we were in the healthiest times in the world. He could live in fear. So I don't know how different it is. Different, obviously, but that changes. Most people are still working from their homes, you know, in television. Yeah. I am not, and did not. I'm going to a studio here every day. I'm not a technological person. I don't have any idea how to get on the air. Neither does Tony. Right. He's got more handholding than I do.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about all the madness yesterday. Just give me your reaction to Harden essentially forcing his way out of Houston and the deal that ensued with Brooklyn and the other teams.
Well, we knew that was going to happen. I mean, we've known this since the beginning. And, you know, there are two people right now who just seem like miserable human beings in NBA life, pro basketball world, and it's Kyrie and James Harden. And now you've got two of them on one team in a place like New York where this is not, you know, it's not, I mean, Houston is the fourth biggest city in America, but you don't have prying eyes and agitation and poking every single minute of every single day like you do in Brooklyn. I mean, I don't see this working. With all due respect to Kevin Durant, who seems to be coming back from this particular injury better and more completely than anyone who has ever had it.
Right.
With all due respect to Kevin Durant, who plays all the time. He just plays. I mean, you know, it's legendary in Baltimore, Washington, you know, in PG County. He plays in the summer. He just plays.
Right.
He plays like guys did 40 years ago. And then you got two guys who don't want to play. Well, Kyrie doesn't want to play. He's not even committed. He's not committed to doing his job. And who knows what Harden is now. I mean, I loved hearing what Boogie Cousins and John Wall said, which is basically, this guy's a fraud. Get out. I love that.
Talking
so
about
now
team
I will
chemistry.
Root for Houston. Oh, God.
Talking about team chemistry, and he wasn't even there.
He's the reason for no team chemistry. I mean, he's the guy. He may be the most talented fraud ever. He may be. Because you look at the games in which you're depending on him as a teammate, you can't depend on him.
Checked out.
And you, if you look at two guys who sort of have opposite personalities, but the same impact and the same drive in Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul, and you can't play with them? Really? You can't play with two guys who just try to go, you know, Westbrook 400 miles an hour. Chris Paul takes teams that you don't even think can make the playoffs and finish fifth. If you can't play with them, then my problem ain't with other people. It ain't with Boogie Cousins, who's come back from two gruesome injuries to try and play as well. It's not with John Wall. I mean, you know, Harden, wow, what a massive disappointment in the time of the season that matters most in his sport.
So I did also, and you've already, you know, started the conversation. We're talking to Mike Wilbon, of course, about Kyrie Irving. You know, this is just, you know, I read the quote from him, you know, over the summer about being an artist, you know, and don't look at the other stuff about you. Don't pay attention to how I handle myself as an employee being paid $33 million a year. Just appreciate the art. Well, you can't even appreciate the art right now because he's refusing to play. Now, if there's like a psychological anxiety, depression, or something serious going on, okay, and maybe there is. I don't know that there isn't, but let's just assume for a moment there isn't. Why would they put up with this? I hope, Michael, that they do not have to pay him for these games. I know the union may somehow, you know, come to his defense during this, but you can't pay him $460,000 a game for games that he has essentially gone AWOL on, can you?
No, but then you can't have him. I mean, people are continually seduced by him because basically he hit a shot.
One shot.
And so he could.
Well,
he
had a good fourth quarter in that game.
Okay, so he played a quarter. I mean, so you know how this goes when you have male children of a certain age. And Kyrie Irving, to an entire generation of, I don't know, 10 to 25-year-olds, and apparently some adults with a lot more age and money too, they're completely seduced by Kyrie Irving. Basically, I will not speak to Matthew for a day because of his Kyrie Irving love. And I wound up screaming at him. I mean, we wound up screaming at each other to the point during the break, during the holidays, where Cheryl just said, get out. Both of you, get out. I cannot take another Kyrie Irving discussion. And this is basically how the world has lined up. They are seduced by his talent and his wizardry, and not by the fact that if you are the best ball handler, one of the, I don't know, 3 to 5 best ball handlers in the history of basketball, and you can only average, but you can only average 5 assists a game, what does that say about you?
He's a chemistry team killer everywhere he's been. Everywhere he's been.
LeBron threw him out. I mean, LeBron threw out a guy who won his first the championship in Cleveland. Had to get rid of him. And everybody said, why would LeBron do that? Are you kidding? Just look at him. So people are seduced by him. Not just kids, but that's his base, if you will. If we can use that word now. That's his base. But he's got some people at the top end, too, who are seduced by him until they have to deal with him every day, and they just go, oh, my God, what have I done?
God, I feel sorry for Steve Nash, who took that job with Kyrie essentially saying, well, he's not really our coach. We're going to do this consensus.
We're going to have a collaborative effort. I mean, you can't wait to see this.
He's a dope. Again, he's a dope. He's a major league dope, isn't he?
But he's worse than that. They're dopes. Dopes don't really pay attention. This guy, he's much more dangerous than that to a team. He's much worse than that. He's a team killer. To the last two teams he's played on, this bears repeating. A team for which he won a championship.
Right.
Has said, we just can't have you.
No. It's very interesting, and I mentioned this very early in the show, and I was surprised at this. The boys in the desert, they elevated Brooklyn to now barely the second favorite behind the Lakers to win the whole thing. I mean, I don't see this working at all. I didn't see it working even without Harden.
Yeah, but remember, they're not. I mean, in Vegas, this is about where the money is. Follow the money.
No, well, there is a big portion of that. There's no doubt, but there's also some belief here that Brooklyn's improved their chances.
Yeah,
I don't think they have.
And I thought Brooklyn was loaded as it was. I kept saying, why do you want James Harden? Now, you know, I don't know what the injury to Dinwiddie did to them in terms of locker room. And I just thought, okay, you've got one wild card. Why do you want another one? Why do you want two dudes who don't want to play?
That's crazy. I want to ask you a bigger picture league thing, because you know I'm a huge basketball guy, and I like the NBA. And a lot of my friends have just moved away from it because of all of the drama and everything else. And this is part of it, by the way. You had a guy in Harden who had 3 years left on a deal. You had a guy a couple of years ago in AD who had 2 years left on his deal. Where is this headed? I mean, what is the point of these contracts when these players essentially are dictating when and where they get to leave? How much does this hurt the league?
I don't know that it hurts the league. There's always been this. There's always been this in sports. There's always been this in sports. I mean, Antonio Brown. I mean, we can go through in football, it's harder. You have less leverage because they can just get rid of you and only be on the hook for that year's money unless there are other cap implications. But I don't know. Look at baseball. I mean, baseball's had guys just force their way out of stuff. This is what happens when you have this much money and you don't have to worry about your employer. You can look the employer in the eye and say, go to hell. I can force my way out. And they can. They certainly can. And you know, it doesn't happen as much in the NHL, but the contracts aren't as, onerous. But in the others, even in football, we see it. So does it hurt the sport? No, it
Kevin, it really doesn't. It makes people angry for a while. It makes the consumer angry, but billionaires keep giving them the contracts. So how does it hurt the sport? It's going to just ramp up interest. The ratings are going to be huge on for Brooklyn. They are. And these guys are enormous celebrities. They are global celebrities, especially in the NBA. Look at soccer. You have some of the biggest names in the world forcing themselves out when they have these transfer fees and these deals. The basketball players are more identifiable to a segment of people in the U.S. But I don't know. Are your boys turned off by this? Does it matter to them, or do they find it kind of exciting?
No, I've told you before. My boys and their friends are all big NBA fans. They love the NBA.
Of course. This is a thing that is generational.
And I'll have the same argument where I will have with my son Ryan tonight, the argument about how, you know, Brooklyn cannot win with a loser like Kyrie Irving, and he'll tell me that he's the greatest ball handler, scorer in one body that he's ever seen.
We'll
get into a Curry versus Kyrie Irving, conversation. And then I'll try to bring up Isaiah Thomas, and he'll say, who? Had that argument with him one day.
Yes, we did. We had that for 4.5 hours. It was great.
I had it for four and a half hours
with you guys. No, it doesn't drive me nuts because I have it all the time. And I wind up saying because all they understand is YouTube, I just go get to pull your tablet out before you tell me that, you know, he's the greatest 6-foot player. You know, Isaiah Thomas, go look him up. And I stand over him like Ali over Liston. Yeah. And I say, get the tablet out now. And so because they're back in D.C., we're having the fight 2,000 miles away. But this is what keeps driving the interest.
Yeah.
So old guys get pissed off. It doesn't mean that it hurts the sport. It really doesn't.
So you were very bullish on Westbrook being here and the possibility that the Wizards would end up really thriving with the Westbrook-Beal combination. Now, Westbrook's hurt right now. Beal's the leading scorer in the league. How do you feel 9-10 games into the season?
Well, you know, if I steal Tony's longtime theme of the Wizards' bullets have to go 9-20, we're still way under the number. I thought it would take them a while, just because it's got to take you a while. It hadn't taken Beal a while, but it's got to take people a while to play with the demands of Westbrook, which are good. I mean, Westbrook is so the opposite of Kyrie and Harden. So it's going to take a while to do that. Do I think they can afford 9-20? No, they can't. Not in a game where they're 10 fewer games anyway, in a season where they're 10 fewer games. I still have hopes that they will start to, you know, get moving after, I don't know, another 3 or 4 games. How long is Westbrook out?
He could be 3 to 4 weeks now. That's the latest news. A lot of people last night, and I was having a lot of conversations about the Harden stuff with various friends, and they're like, well, now they got to do it. And I said, what? Now they got to trade Beal. Look at what Brooklyn got. They can get a haul for Beal. I mean, you could argue in some ways that Beal's worth the same amount. I don't know if you can make that. Actually, I think you could probably make that argument because you've got in Beal a totally different human being than you have in Harden.
That's right. There are people in the NBA who are veteran players, you know, who have said to their GMs if they have situations, I won't even go to play with Harden. I don't want to play with him. I'm talking about veteran players you want in the last two seasons have said, nah, don't want to play with him. So Beal doesn't have that. People call and inquire about Beal. But I don't know. It takes years to do that. So the Nets have all these, Houston has all these picks. Well, I don't know. What does that mean?
I know, because it's, you know, basically 3/4 of the first round never makes it. You know, sometimes
That's
it's
right.
even higher than that. But, you know, you've got a situation with Beal where he's a year and a half away from unrestricted free agency. So
well, he stayed once. Let's see. I mean, so let's see what happens this year and next. You can get that at the last. You can get that at the last minute too. I mean, I don't know that these people are so attractive only because they're under contract. In other words, with Houston, have done this. I mean, they did this with a lot of time left with Harden, who they've lived with already. They know his lunacy. I mean, it was well chronicled in ESPN, you know, in print a few weeks ago of how intolerable Harden is, would be as a player that has to be the best player on a championship team. He can't be your best player. Now, maybe he can be the second best guy because you've got Durant. By the way, at what point does Durant, people may get on Durant because he seems sensitive. Okay, fine. But Kevin Durant plays, man. He plays.
Yeah, he does.
He gives it to you. At what point is he going to look around and say, are you kidding me? I'm saddled with this? He may not do it publicly like some others, but it's coming to a theater near you. Unless Harden and Kyrie decide they're going to give it all, their all, for the next, you know, 6 months. And I don't trust either one of them to do that.
He's playing with two children, basically. And the thing about Beal too, I think we've had this conversation before. I don't think Beal is a number one on a championship contender.
No.
I don't. I think he's an elite scorer and he's developed into that, but he's not a top five to top 10 player in this league, but he is a number two. So, you know, I look at the Clippers and I'm a big fan of what they were and I thought they were going to be last summer.
Weren't.
There was obviously something happened there. I mean, you know that there was obviously some chemistry stuff.
Well, yeah, personalities happen, not just chemistry, but the fact that they're two guys as great as Kawhi was and probably still is. He was in situations in San Antonio and Toronto where you had a cast around him that worked, and he didn't say a word. I mean, he didn't say a word. And neither does Paul George. Paul George hiding under the bed half the time.
Right.
So I don't think they're going to work this year either. I think they're flawed in a way that will not work. Beal is not that sort of non-leader and just person who checks out and has no personality. The Clippers, who's their leader? Who they got?
I mean, I think of Kawhi, who is among my favorite players in all of sports. I think he and Beal together would be phenomenal, even better than he and George.
Wow, I wouldn't take Paul George back in a trade. I wouldn't.
Yeah,
he's
well,
too flawed.
George
has
played with Russ before.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got 2 minutes here. I did want to ask you about two other things. First of all, how, you know, you know what this franchise here is, football franchise is here. How surprised were you with the year that Ron Rivera put together?
Well, I mean, I don't want to get too carried away. They were 7-9.
I know.
In the worst division. So, I
they had a chance to beat Tampa Bay Saturday night.
Oh, absolutely. He put together a team that could make a burst, a defense first team. And why would that shock you? He was part of the greatest defense in the history of the league as a player.
Yeah.
And it was admirable. And not only that, I mean, he had to make some tough decisions. When you take a first round pick who's a quarterback and you throw him out, you just say, you know what? See, this is the difference between the NFL and the NBA or the other sports, team sports at all. You can just say to a guy, get out. We're not having it. You're not working hard enough. We're not having you. Can you imagine Kyrie in the NFL? Ron Rivera couldn't do what he did.
No.
So, but he did it. And it took guts, man. And the fact that he personally had to go through the things that he had to go through with fighting cancer during the season. I mean, yes, it's impressive. Again, I don't want to get too carried away.
Do you know him?
No. I mean, just say hello and all that stuff. He was not. He's not one of the Bears, former Bears that I have been friends with, you know, guys like Otis Wilson and Richard Dent and Jim McMahon and a lot of guys. The late great, of course, number 34. No, he's not a guy I know like that. I know him and his wife to say hello, and I always have liked him and I root for him. But what he did, man, and there are guys that I'm close with, Tommy Waddle, who love Ron Rivera and the intellect, the guts, the sort of compass he has as a person, as a coach. And so, you know, when you know those guys, you feel you know a little bit of somebody that they really revere. He did a great job. And the fact that he got them ready for that game and they were in a position there for, what, one possession to go ahead?
Yeah, they took two possessions in the fourth quarter down one score, yeah.
Okay, two possessions. Remarkable, Kevin.
Yeah.
Now, I want to see them go out and get a quarterback with no disrespect to this kid, none. If you got this defense, so go get a quarterback. Go get Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, that's
if he's
that's
a, if he's available and they're going to rebuild. What Matt Stafford wouldn't feel like he had some new lease on life if he was with the Washington football team playing with that defense and some of the skill position players around him. So I think, you know, if this is all they do, if they wind up like the franchise I root for and they don't get it right at quarterback, then it won't matter. It doesn't matter how noble you are as a team. Yep. You just wind up being noble every year, losing in the first round at best.
I got to run. Your team I loved watching defensively this year. And next time we'll talk about the Big Ten, which is, for me, as a longtime ACC guy, as you know, it's the best league Maryland's ever been in top to bottom this year by far.
No, really?
I think so. I think Michigan, by the way, is
I think Michigan's the best.
I think they can win the national championship.
Are the two teams. Yeah. Those two teams are teams I think are the best nationally. Wow. You got me thinking now. All right, Kevin, we'll talk about that soon.
It's top to bottom. I don't know that any of the ACC years were close. There were some years in the 80s where it was close, but every night is unbelievable. All right, I got
to
run. Thanks for doing this, as always. I'll talk to you soon.
You're welcome. I'm going back to sleep.
All right, go back to sleep. Mike Wilbon, everybody.
The only way to stream the Team 980 on your phone or smart speaker is with the Radio.com app. Presented by Regency Furniture. This weekend, shop the 72-hour Red Tag Savings event at Regency Furniture with Red Tag Savings up to 72% off store-wide. Free delivery and no interest financing. Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
Adam Schefter reporting that Jacksonville and Urban Meyer now are in advanced talks to see if they can finalize a deal. So Urban Meyer getting closer to taking that opening in Jacksonville. The Caps open up their season tonight against Buffalo. Real quick word about Window Nation. They're kicking off the new year with their most popular deal. Call today. No money down, no payments, and no interest for two full years. Get two free windows with every two you buy. No limit. Call 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. I promise you it will work out for you. Al Galdi is up next. He joins us right now for the handoff that we're doing. By the way, I'm looking at Gambit, the D.C. Lottery's new sportsbook, and this daily sports line is brought to you by the D.C. Lottery's new sportsbook, Gambit D.C. Download today at GAMBETDC.com. Access spreads, money lines, over-unders, live in-game betting, all at your fingertips. It's sports only better. You know, Galdi, the line I'm looking at that I think has a chance of moving is sitting there at 10. I don't think many people are giving Cleveland a chance, and the Chiefs are 10 at Arrowhead in the first game on Sunday. Would not surprise me if that comes down a little bit. I think there's going to be some people and some sharp money on the Browns because I think they're going to believe that the Browns can score.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, I would think the Chiefs are a popular public play for this weekend.
It's actually split, believe it or not,
really?
In part because of the big number. And recent impressions are always a big deal, and Cleveland put 48 on your wife's team.
Yeah, they did. They did. You know? I heard every ounce of that. Wouldn't it be something, Bill Callahan, he makes it to an AFC championship game. You know, and it's funny, too, because Baker Mayfield, like, sometimes he looks great, and sometimes he looks so pedestrian. Obviously, he's looked better lately. It's hard to know what to expect from him, but I'm kind of with you on that. The Chiefs, not to the extent the Steelers did, but they've cooled off over these last few weeks. There's no doubt about that.
I think the big difference with the Chiefs is they knew where they were headed, and I almost think they became bored a little bit with the regular season.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe we'll see, a 45-point output, and it won't be close. But let's not forget that last year against both Tennessee and Houston at Arrowhead, both of those teams got off to fast starts. And in the case of Houston, I mean, I think they were up 24-0 or 24-7 or whatever
that
it was.
That was insane that game. Yeah, I'll never
forget that. I think Cleveland can score. I think they can. What do you got on the show?
Yeah, Ben Standing's coming up at 9:15. We'll get the latest on the Washington football team, general manager search, and everything else going on. And Peter Hassett of Russian Machine Never Breaks, which is a great Capitals blog, he'll be on at 11:15. Caps get going tonight. Are you wearing your Shattenkirk jersey?
I've got my 22 Shattenkirk jersey
nice.
On. Yeah,
awesome.
Thanks for remembering that I had that
awesome.
Jersey.
I love that.
Yeah, I'll be ready for that. I know you will as too. Sorry for the late handoff.
That's all right.
I love the Wilbon conversations. I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Yep, sounds good.
Galdi's up next. Thanks to Darris, who was in for Anthony today. Thanks to Mike Jones, Mike Wilbon, and all of you. Stay tuned. The Al Galdi Show is up next.
Download the radio.com app and favorite the Team 980 to listen anytime, anywhere.